Blog Talk Radio.
The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media LLC.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Don't twist.
These three words.
sweet and simple.
Genius of Mr. Stevlin Morris, better known to most of us as Stevie Wonder, the incomparable multi-Grammy winner. Now, when was the last time you told somebody, mother, father, sister, brother, cousin, whomever, that you love them? Now might be a good time. Okay, I'm especially saddened by, before I go on with this, you know what this is, the Ron Kelly Show. I'll get to that in a minute. But I just want to reach out to, I'm especially saddened by the death of my Christchurch brother, Samuel Wilson Jr., who, and I thank you everybody, I'll get to all you guys in a second. I'm especially saddened by the death of my Christchurch brother, Samuel Wilson Jr., who sadly has passed on. Now, I met Sam at a men's group at Christchurch, my church home, a couple of years ago, and he was one of the facilitators of the meeting. And he always had an encouraging word. He made me feel welcome since I didn't know anyone there at the time. And he was instrumental in me joining the church and eventually joining the media team as the cameraman, your friendly neighborhood cameraman, which I have been ever since. It's been a couple of years now. So, so peace be upon you, Sam. You have earned your wings, my brother, and thank you for everything that you did for me. All right, back and better than ever, it's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on the internet. It's on blogtalkradio.com, the ronkellyshow.com, and on broadcast radio. We are on the number one station in the Tampa Bay area, WWPR 1490 AM, which not only is the number one station in that area, but also is the home of the Tampa Bay Rays broadcast. And hopefully we'll get to baseball at some point. And good news, we're coming online on the West Coast at NBC News Radio, KCAA 102.3 FM, 1050 AM, and 106.5 FM. So, yes, we're looking forward to that, and I'll keep you posted on the launch of the Ron Kelly Show on the West Coast. The Ron Kelly Show is catching on nationwide, and at some point, I'm going to end my relationship with Blog Talk Radio, but the show will be available through the radio stations. There'll be a listing. You know, my website goes up. There'll be a listing of all the stations, terrestrial broadcast stations, where you can check out the Ron Kelly Show. But I will keep a presence on Facebook Live. We'll keep the show going on Facebook Live. But things are going to change pretty soon. So thank the Lord that the Ron Kelly Show is finally catching some of y'all by the throat. All right, so I get to the Trump nonsense. Actually, I just tried to watch this. The Daily Clown Show. Man, oh man, it's like really painful to watch. So we got a lot to talk about. I'll get to the Obama endorsement and what it means. I know a lot of y'all are chomping for Stacey Abrams to be the vice presidential candidate for Mr. Joe Biden, who is the presumptive. And I say presumptive because the election's not over, you know, but because of the coronavirus, the election has come to a standstill along with the rest of the country. So we'll get to that. But before we launch Trump out of the White House, we got to make sure that our needs are met. And I don't mean take care of us, because a lot of us want to be taken care of. No, not me. I just want a, like Councilwoman Melissa Mims from Patterson would say, a seat at the table. That's what I want. So, okay, so shout out to Colette Bannister Matthews watching the program, Elaine Harris Askew, Linda Lambrazo, Sandra Dick, Joy Jones, Albert Vega, my brother. I was watching him last night. Albert Vega spinning the wheels Wednesday night, 8 to 10 Eastern Time on deepwildmusicradio.com. Thank you, brother. Shout out to Clark Pena, who's doing a lot of great work. I'm gonna have Clark Pena come on the program and talk about all the things that he's doing. I met Clark at a at a banquet, black tie. You know, I was looking very spiffy that night. And I met Clark Pena at a black tie event. And so he operates in New York. He's doing a lot of great things. And we'll have, at some point, we'll have Clark. I'll ask Clark to call into the program. We'll do a segment, and he can tell us all the good things that he's doing in the city of New York. Maybe get us caught up on what's happening over there. The epicenter of the coronavirus outbreak, a quarter of a million people just in New York, just in New York, period. A quarter of a million people. Staggering numbers. Thank you, brother. Thank you, Albert says that you deserve everything. Thank you, brother. Thank you. I appreciate you. Yeah, so the coronavirus in New York City alone, almost a quarter of a million people across New York's. So let's say New York and New Jersey, you know, between the two of us, because they're one and we're 1A, it's probably pretty close to 300,000 coronavirus cases. Those are the ones that we know about. See, this thing is far, far past what, you know, because a lot of people haven't been tested. Only 1% of the American population has been tested. Shout out to Sharon Allen Chambers. Love you, my sister. Where you been? I know you working and stuff like that. I'm one of the essential people, so I'm working. They call us essential or whatever. But yeah, so a quarter of a million people. So if you're still healthy, you know, thank God. You know, me, myself, I'm still healthy. I don't feel anything. You know, I guess at some point, because what's happening now is people who are not symptomatic or not being tested. And there's just not enough tests. It's just, you know, it's just outrageous. President Trump, let me put it like this. Will I lay this at Trump's feet? No. You know, I won't lay this whole thing at Trump's feet. But what I will do is talk about the delay. And just a delay of a week or two is like crucial in this thing, you know. And poor Dr. Fauci, who has to sit up there with the president. And, you know, and what happened with Dr. Fauci. Now, some of you know that Dr. Fauci did come out and say on a television program that if the government would have acted sooner, there wouldn't have been as much death and destruction that has taken place. And, oh, come on, man. And I'm having trouble with there's trouble with the broadcast on Facebook for some reason. I'm not sure what it is, but I have to continue with the program. Oh, God. All right, you know what? We'll take a quick break, and we'll come right back with more. Okay, I'm back. All right, everybody, I'm back. I don't know what's going on. I think Facebook is trying to put the kibosh on my radio show. So, quarter of a million, almost 300,000 people just in the New York metropolitan area alone, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, just unbelievable. So, you know, and again, I won't put the whole thing on Trump because, you know, I just won't put the whole thing on Trump, but I will put on him that he delayed because he didn't want people to know about this. And you can see from the collage, I think I saw a commercial that was put up by the Democratic Party of Trump saying, oh, it's going to disappear. And it's like magic, like magic, it's going to go away. Oh, and then I saw him on a Fox News broadcast where he said there was only one person at the time. There was only one person who had it. So now, Mr. Trump, there's 600,000 Americans those who've been tested have been found to have the coronavirus. And it's just outrageous. It's just unbelievable what's going on right now. Shout out to Linda Lombroso, who says Trump as a leader doesn't have a plan. Now, and you know, and it's hard to, you know, see, once, you know, it's hard to plan. Once you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And it's hard to come up with a plan after the horses have run out of the barn. You know, it doesn't make sense to go and close the door because the horses are gone. So, you know, the whole thing with Trump is that he downplayed it, you know, and they propped him up about him stopping, you know, canceling flights from China. And, but that was well after the, you know, the virus had already taken hold in this country. It was well after that. So Trump is not a leader. He's definitely not a leader. Shout out to everybody on Block Talk Radio. Shout out to the people who have emailed me, the folks from around the country who have emailed me on at TheRonKellyShow@gmail.com or RKellyTalk@AOL.com, either one of the two. You can email me. And people who have locked onto my Facebook page, The Ron Kelly Show, on Facebook, thank you guys for your encouraging words at this really difficult time that we're going through with the coronavirus and all. Ben, 20 minutes already. All right, we'll take a quick break. Come right back with more of this program, everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show, you know, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com.
We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this. The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media LLC.
Oh no! I'm in charge of our 10-year class reunion and don't know where to begin.
Don't let this happen to you. For your next event, wedding, anniversary, class reunion, or just need to promote your business, Burkett Promotions has you covered.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Over 200 custom-made products, USA made, along with personalized imprints and logos.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Burkett Promotions does it all. Big or small, we can fit your budget.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Need your event to stand out with that personalized touch? Pens, pencils, t-shirts? Go to BurkettPromotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Mention The Ron Kelly Show and receive an additional 10% off an already great price.
Thanks to Burkett Promotions, my event was a success.
BurkettPromotions.com. BIRKETTPromotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
A business you can trust. A member of the Better Business Bureau, New Jersey. A+ rating. The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, TheRonKellyShow.com.
All righty then. Thank you, Al. Who's the voice of the Ron Kelly Show. Thank you, Al, for that. All right, it's about 22 minutes past the hour. You're listening to the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. Shout out to Linda Lombroso. Am I saying that right? It's a knee-jerk. Exactly. It was a knee-jerk reaction. You know, Trump, just dropped the ball with this. You see, because he knew. He knew that this was going to happen. He knew that there would be what happened was he hoped against hope that there would be no virus. That's what he did. He hoped against hope that the virus would not make it to the shores of the United States of America, the fruited plain, but it did. So now we have 22 million people filing for unemployment. 22, just unbelievable. 22 million people so far, and this is just in the last couple of weeks, have filed for unemployment. And the boasting and the bragging about America's got the greatest economy in the world, which it still does. I mean, even though it's taken a really big hit, but it still does. And, you know, the stock market and all has tanked, and Trump is just beside himself because he's no longer able to boast and brag about the economy of the United States of America. So you have 22 million people filing for unemployment and the small business loans have ran out already. The small $350 billion, a lot of money. And it's already run out, and now they have to redo everything. They have to fund the program because the small business loans have already run out. So anybody out there, and they're not even accepting any more applications at the moment. So this is a mess. This is a big mess, you know, and this could have been avoided if Trump would have did his due diligence and taken care of this, because there was a whole department set up for this. There was a department at the White House department that was set up for this exactly this type of thing. When President Obama, shout out to Aaron. Hey, what's up, Aaron? Aaron Maestos, watching the program. Shout out to you, Aaron. Good to see you. So, you know, when Obama was the president, there was a whole thing set up for this. There was a whole, there was a White House agency that was set up for pandemics and epidemics. And when Trump came in, he, shout out to Emmanuel Capers. Praying for you, my brother. Emmanuel Capers, praying for you, man. I think that was dead wrong what happened to you. Dead wrong. I'll elaborate on that a little later on, everybody. Emmanuel Capers. But Trump did not act when he was supposed to act. I mean, we all know that. And now they're scrambling, trying to get this thing together. And the word is that there's not going to be a vaccine until like a year from now. So we definitely can't sit around for another year, because this country will be Haiti if we wait for another year to open the economy. So now they're scrambling around. I hate that word, Chief. But anyway, thank you, brother. Thank you. Good. I'm glad you're still in the fight. I read about that. I thought it was damn. You know, I'm going to have you come on the program if you're able to talk about it. I'll have you come on and we'll do a segment on that, that Board of Education nonsense that's going on right now. Okay, so President Obama came out the other day and endorsed Joe Biden for president after came out and endorsed Joe Biden for president after and then Elizabeth Warren did, and most of the other candidates, the top level candidates, Klobuchar, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, you know, many of them have already asked, you know, have endorsed Joe Biden for presidency. But we have to be careful now. We have to be careful who we're going to, you know, I know everybody's desperate to get rid of Trump, but we have to be careful, you know, with this. Because, you know, anybody that ever tried to help us got killed. You know, when Martin Luther King got killed, John F. Kennedy got killed, Robert F. Kennedy got killed, you know, so on and so on. Now, I don't know if Malcolm X falls into this category. I really don't think so. But anybody who tried to help us got killed. But now we have Joe Biden. And Joe Biden was the vice president with Barack Obama. You guys know that, for 8 years. You know, and everybody's pushing. And I'd be a little bit, you know, but I'd pump the brakes a little bit on Joe Biden, because you really don't know what he's going to do. You know, he was vice president, so he couldn't really make any decisions in regards to everything, because the buck stopped with President Obama. So, you know, I think we have to find out, you know, we have to do our due diligence and find out just what Joe Biden's agenda is. Because you see now, Joe Biden in the white areas, Joe Biden was losing bad. You know, Vermont lost, and Iowa lost. You know, Joe Biden didn't start winning primaries until he got in our neighborhood. You know, when he got to South Carolina, he blew them away. He, you know, and then Super Tuesday, he just gutted Bernie Sanders. And so we have to be, you know, we have to figure out what Joe Biden is really going to be about. Shout out to Sandra Joy Jones, who says, how do you feel about all the minorities passed away from the coronavirus? You know what? I'm going to get to that in a second. And I did talk about that last week as well. But now, we have to be careful of who we're going to push and shove in here. Now, what happened was, you know, matter of fact, I saw a piece today on MSNBC with the lady from California, whose name's being tossed around in the hat, Kamala Harris, whose name is being tossed around in the hat for vice president. Now, me personally, I really don't want Kamala Harris to be vice president. I don't. There's something about her that I just don't trust. And it's not because she has a white husband. It's not. There's an old start with that. It's not because she has a white husband, but just something about Kamala Harris that just kind of throws me off. And so the push now is for us to have a black female vice presidential candidate. She'd be the first one ever. You know, there's been two others. I mentioned it last week. Geraldine Ferraro in 84 and Sarah Palin, the disaster in 2012. So, you know, so now the push is on for a black vice presidential candidate. You see, we have to be careful with that. You know, we have to be careful with that because, because, you know, we had a black president for 8 years. Now, can we really say that we're in any better shape than we were before? During the time that Barack Obama was president, I'm not knocking Barack Obama now. Don't get me wrong with that. But can anybody say that they're in better shape than they were now than they were before Barack Obama became president? I don't know if everybody can say that. Barack Obama was a great speaker. You know, he had probably one of the cleanest families ever to be in the White House. No drama, no nothing. And which was great. But we can't be pushing, as black people, to have a black candidate just because they're black. You know, because we have plenty of black elected officials all across the country. You got plenty of them right here in New Jersey and all across America. There's a lot of black officials, black congressmen. There's a couple of black senators. And, you know, if you're in an elected body like the Congress or the Senate, you have to make nice, even council, all the way down to the ground level council people, assembly people, state senators, whatever the case may be. You know, in order for you to get something done, you got to make nice with the people who your fellow senators, your fellow congressmen, your fellow council people, whatever the case may be. So sometimes you got to, you know, make deals with the devil in order to get stuff done. And, you know, we have plenty of black elected officials across America. And, you know, and because they're not the majority, they can only do what they're allowed to do. Sandra Joy Jones says he's going to help him become more relevant with younger people, help get minimum wage of $15 and college debt down, health care, I hope gun control. Thank you, Sandra Joy Jones, for that. And see, the gun lobby is powerful. They're not going anywhere. But Sandra Joy Jones says Bernie Sanders is backing Biden. Yes, Bernie Sanders is backing Biden. But you see, but Bernie, you know, the young people like Bernie, but they didn't vote for him. You know, they didn't come out to vote for Bernie. I mean, Bernie used to have some of the biggest rallies, 15,000, 20,000 people screaming to the top of their lungs for Bernie, but it didn't translate into votes because Bernie lost. When the Super Tuesday, Bernie lost just about every state, you know, and now he's out of the race. So, you know, Bernie had the young people's backing, Sandra Joy Jones, but they didn't vote. They didn't come out to vote. So that was the problem with that. So, yeah, I mean, Bernie, see, because if they didn't vote for Bernie, I don't know if they're going to vote for Biden. You know, and it's just nonsense. The people saying that Bernie's people are not going to vote for Biden, it's just doesn't make sense. You know, it just doesn't make sense. See, the reason why Donald Trump is the president today is because of what happened in those swing states where black folks, you know, did not vote. Many of the black folks did not vote after, you know, because there were some of us who had an issue with Hillary Clinton, so they just didn't vote at all. And I don't know if the numbers are exactly correct. I see these numbers, 600,000 didn't vote here, 800,000 black folks didn't vote. I didn't know there was 800,000 black folks in some of those states. But they're saying that he didn't vote. That lots of black folks did not vote. So yeah, so that's the issue with that. Now, now we do have it there. Now there is a getting back to what Sandra Joy Jones said earlier about Black folks succumbing to the coronavirus more than anybody else. And no, and they're not talking to us. I wish y'all would stop. I wish y'all would stop with that. These Facebook nonsensical posts about conspiracies and stuff. And stuff like that. I just wish everybody would stop that, because there is no conspiracy. The coronavirus was not made to kill us. It's killed a lot of white people too. You know, Hispanics, anybody who gets in the coronavirus's way, if they don't survive, they die. So, you know, so these conspiracy theories about 5G, you know, I can't do it. 5G is killing us and all this stuff. I'm like, really? I don't know. I just don't know about that. 5G is, I read something on Facebook that people were saying that 5G was making the coronavirus worse in the Black community. And the 5G, shout out to Lamont Curtis, and 5G is making the coronavirus worse, you know, and I just laugh, because you know, a lot of this stuff is unproven. A lot of this stuff is unproven. You know, and if you want to find some crazy nonsensical conspiracy theories, just go on Facebook any day and flip through the Facebook feed, depending on who you're friends with, and you'll see just the most outrageous nonsense about 5G is killing us. Because this stuff hasn't been proven. And we got to stop with this. I can't do it. We got to stop with this. But anyway, as far as, and I talked about this last week about the coronavirus and more Black folks. And I don't have the exact numbers, because they're not doing the numbers. They're just doing the numbers for everybody right now. They're not doing numbers for different races. They're just not doing that right now. But it is a well-known fact. I mean, I don't know how many, you know, the exact number, but there is a fact that Black folks are dying more from the coronavirus than anybody else, and that's because of, and I talked about this last week, some of y'all might have missed the show, but someone just questioned me about it on Facebook Live, so I will address it again, that the health and wellness is a problem in the Black community, health and wellness, you know, and Black folks, unfortunately, you see, because this, you're talking about obesity and not getting checked up. Yeah, I know, Sandra. Obesity and, you know, diabetes is very rampant in the Black community. Diabetes, high blood pressure, obesity, all of these things are prevalent in the Black community. And a lot of these hidden issues, or these things that haven't been addressed. Some of us just don't go to the doctor. A lot of these things the coronavirus seizes upon some of these things: obesity, diabetes, high blood pressure, heart disease. Many of us have a lot of things going on with folks who just won't go to the hospital, and the coronavirus seizes upon these things. And that's one of the reasons why there's such a disparity in the Black community. It's not because coronavirus is meant for us. It's not that they're trying to kill us all. You know, that just makes me laugh. But the problem is that Black folks just don't go to the doctor as much as they should. And many of us have these issues because sometimes people got to choose between going to work and going to the doctor. You know, you might have a heart palpitation. You might really have heart disease and, you know, oh, I'll be all right. You know, we try to self-diagnose ourselves and we don't go to the doctor. And then something like this happens, this coronavirus, and then people just start dying. So that's been part of the problem. Folks are just, you know, haven't gone to the doctor, haven't done their due diligence, haven't gotten the checkups and stuff like that. And, you know, because these are Black folks that are dying from the disease are Black folks with jobs for the most part. You know, these are people who have commercial insurance, people who work for, they said, the people at the MTA, there's like 60 people who died. A lot of those people had jobs. those people had jobs. They had health insurance. And a lot of us have health, Medicaid. I mean, it might take a month to get in there, but you know, a lot of us who just can't, you know, don't sometimes for the most, a lot of us just don't go. You know, a lot of us just don't go. Don't go to the doctor, you know, because, oh, I got to go to work. I can't afford to lose any money. You know, sometimes bills take precedent over everything else. And we can't, you know, you can't do it. So a lot of us don't go to the doctor. And that's one of the reasons why the coronavirus has hit the Black community especially hard, because many of us don't go to the doctor. All right, 20 minutes to go. We'll take a quick break. And we'll come right back with more. It's the Ron Kelly Show, everybody. And it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com, WWPR 49 AM, and soon KCAA Radio in California. We'll be right back.
We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this. The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media LLC.
Some statistics are surprising. Some are unbelievable, and some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%, and that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
Yeah, yeah.
The news you want.
Is the perception still that a black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topics you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effectiveness is marching have on society today?
Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have the highest homicide offending rate.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted.
That's right. Do not get it twisted. All right, everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show. Shout out to Michael Bishop. Shout out to David Mayers. Michael Bishop. Shout out to you guys. Shout out to Stanley Williams. Thank you, brother. Albert Vega, Sandra Jurgens, all everybody who's watching and who's listening all across America. Because this ain't the little engine that could no more. It's the Ron Kelly Show, everybody, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. If you're all right so far, thank the Lord. Thank you. Jesus, get down on your knees and thank the Lord that you're all right, because 300,000 or so people just in this area alone, the New York metropolitan area alone, have the coronavirus. The coronavirus is, you know, is taking a toll. And it's not just about old people anymore. You know, there's people in their 40s and 50s and young people who are dying. Oh, I just touched my face. I'm glad. People are dying with, you know, it's not just about the old folks. Now, you know, old folks do die a little bit more than most of us, but all kinds of people from all walks of life are dying from this thing. So definitely, you know, I personally, I feel kind of strange wearing a mask, but I do wear it. When I'm on duty, when I do my security thing, I do wear gloves and masks and so, and I protect myself. I carry around my hand sanitizer at all times. Anything I touch, if I touch a doorknob or whatever, you know, I'm squirting. Anyway, that doesn't sound right, do it. Anyway, oh boy, thank you so much, everybody, for joining me. Shout out to my people down in, shout out to Valerie down in Florida, WWPR 1490 AM, where the Ron Kelly Show is prominently displayed there, the number one station in the Tampa Bay area and the home of the Tampa Bay Rays, and also coming soon to KCAA, KCAA Radio in California, Loma Linda, California, exactly, just outside of Los Angeles, 102.3 FM, 1050 AM, and 106.5 FM. It's the NBC News radio station. The Ron Kelly Show is about to crash into California. So we're looking forward to that. Anyway, yeah, so we're making moves and we're doing things. 2020 is not a wash after all. All right, so thank you so much for joining me. It's the Ron Kelly Show, everybody. And we're on blogtalkradio.com, the Ron Kelly Show.com. Somebody called me the Black Rush Limbaugh. Oh, somebody called me the Black Rush Limbaugh. Hey, you know what? I'll take half of the stations he has. He has 600 stations. I'll take 300. I'll take half of what he's doing. But somebody called me the Black Rush Limbaugh. You see, because when you're talking to, you know, and I love being a black man. Let me just get that, make that abundantly clear to you folks. Some of y'all think I don't like being black, whatever you're thinking. I love being black. I love my blackness, and I love my black people. And this radio show is not necessarily only about black people, because there's a lot of white folks listening to this show. I saw the numbers from AMFM Broadcasting Network. You know, 80-something thousand folks who last week listened to the program. That's just on that. That's just on that network. 88,000 people listened to the Ron Kelly Show just last week alone. And that's in one day, which is wonderful. But, you know, because the show is not necessarily about just black people, you know. So somebody called me the Black Rush Limbaugh the other day, and, you know, I'm like, wow. That's interesting. You know, that couldn't be further from the truth. You see, because the truth hurts, you know. The truth hurts. I respect Rush Limbaugh. Believe me. I have a lot of respect for Rush Limbaugh. Not because of his content, because his content is wackadoo. But I respect that he's the number one talk radio host in America. And what I would love to, yes, I would love to. You know, Senator Joy Jones asked, isn't he racist? You see, there's a difference between being a racist and being a separatist. You know, a separatist just doesn't want you around. But that doesn't mean that they're racist. They just don't want you around for whatever their reasons are, you know. But they may not be a racist. So I'm not so quick to throw out the R word. On people, unless they are just blatantly racist and using the N-word or whatever. And I've never heard that on Rush Limbaugh's show, which I do listen to, but I don't subscribe to his nonsense. But you see, the truth, you know, in my opening, I love and I took that from A Few Good Men with Tom Cruise and Jack Nicholson. And Tom Cruise was cross-examining Jack Nicholson about some soldiers are getting killed. And so, you know, so Tom Cruise screams out, I want the truth. And Jack Nicholson says, you can't handle the truth. I love that, because some of us can't handle the truth. Can't handle the truth about the black experience in America. I love my black people. Trust me. Love. I've been a black man all my life. I advocate for my people as often as I can. But you see, we have to begin to start telling the truth. Lynn Lombroso says, I believe you will aspire to be great. Rush Limbaugh does prompt a white empowerment. Well, yes. Yeah, he found his niche. You know, he found his niche. Because the people who listen to Rush Limbaugh, agree with him. The people who listen to my radio show agree with me. Now, I don't have millions of listeners, but I'm working on it. But thousands of listeners is better than hundreds. You know, so I started out with nothing, and now I have thousands of people listening to my radio show. So we'll keep it going. But you see, so some people, it's just so hard to handle the truth about the black experience in America. You know, because we like to make excuses for everything. It's always somebody else's fault. Finger pointing. Oh, it's not, you know, it's not us, it's them. It's the white man. And, you know, things are, you know, see, you have to go back to the Constitution of the United States of America, which was really besides the part of us about black folks not being a whole person, was a very good start for this country, you see. And the Constitution of the United States of America, shout out to Shaw Williams, who's watching the program. The Constitution of the United States of America, besides the part where it says we're not a whole person, which it did say at one time. Yes, I do. Thank you, Linda Lombroso, for that. And besides the part that says that we weren't a whole person, the United States Constitution was, and it was a good start for this country. You see, because, you know, and the reason why, the very reason why they, the Constitution was written the way it was is because of this president we have right now. You know, because if it wasn't for the Constitution, this president would be completely off the hook. Completely. He's still off the hook. But like, for example, when he said that, you know, that he's in charge, he's going to open up states, and the states were like, no, you know, hey, how are you, my brother? Good to hear from you. So, you know, Trump said, well, I'm going to open up this. No. And see, he backpedaled from that after somebody, probably maybe Mike Pence, because Mike Pence is the only person that Trump can't fire. And so somebody told him that, look, no, it's up to the states have autonomy. The governors have autonomy. So Trump backed off of that, and he made it seem like he made a decision to let the states do what they want to do. No, you don't have the power to stop the states from doing what they want to do. You don't have the power. So he backed off of that, and he made it seem like he made a decision to let the states, like, okay, I'm going to let you do what you want to do. But I can come back? No, you can't. So, you know, but the Constitution of the United States of America, when it was written, didn't include black folks. Didn't include us. You know, we weren't, you know, they didn't say nothing about us. You know, we had, you know, amendments later on, the Voting Rights Act, Civil Rights Act, which weren't that old, it was 50-some years ago. You know, the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act is not that old. You know, it's not that old. We're only going back 50, 60 years. Some of us were alive at that time. And so the United States Constitution wasn't meant for black folks. It wasn't meant for black folks. It was meant for white folks. It wasn't meant for us. And you see, so that's something that we have to understand, you know, because you're not going to demand nothing from nobody. You know, I hear folks, see folks on Facebook using foul language, because I don't use foul language on Facebook. I just don't do it because, you know, I know how to talk. And that's not to say they don't know how to talk. But you can demand and you can make as many petitions and do all that crap all you want. These people are not going to do nothing unless they want to do it, you know, because we're never going to be able to force the United States of America to treat us as equals. That's never going to happen. Now, we can find a place, and that's not that I'm, you know, it's not that, shout out to Bunny McKnight, my brother. I know you heard about Sam, man. Wow. Crazy. But this, the United States of America, the Constitution did not include us when it was written. And we're never going to be treated as equals in the United States of America. Never. That's never going to happen. I can say never. It's never going to happen where black people are treated as equals to white people in the United States of America. That is never going to happen. So we need to move away from that. Because we're never going to, I don't care how many angry text messages, how many angry Facebook posts, how much foul language you use, how many messages you put in caps, that's never going to change. That's never going to change. Now, if black folks weren't slaves at the time that the United States Constitution was written, then maybe we might have a chance. But, you see, I'm telling the truth. So you can call me a black Rush Limbaugh if you want to. You can call me that. And when this show is nationwide and I'm making millions of dollars, I'll be laughing at you. You know, but we're never going to be treated as equal. So we need to move away from that crap that the white man. No. They're sorry that they brought us here. I bet you by now they're like, damn, we should have never brought them Negroes here. Look at them now. And so for people to continue to try to push for black people to be treated, to black people to be treated as equals in this country, you're wasting your time, because it's never going to happen. Now, what we can do is pull together as a people and raise our status in this country. We can do that. But we're not going to do that with world star hip hop videos of us beating the crap out of each other. You know, I saw a video the other day, a lady out there with her breasts, you know, she didn't have a shirt on, breasts out. People laughing at her. Black girl. You know, how many videos have you watched of black folks beating the tar out of each other? You know, that's not very encouraging. You know, there's things in the way of us. You know, but you know, this nonsense, or this notion, rather, I don't want to call it nonsense, you're entitled to your opinion, this notion that black folks are one day going to be equal to white folks is absolutely ridiculous, because that is never, ever, ever going to happen. Never. Now, what we can do is raise our status in this country, like I said earlier. Raise our status, pull together, stop killing each other, stop sniping each other on Facebook, listen to each other. Because you can't have a difference of opinion in the black community. If you don't think like everybody else thinks, you're a sellout, you know, you're a sellout. Like people have said to me, Ron, nobody's ever said it to my face, but I've heard it. You know, I'm keeping it real. This is, if you can't handle the truth, don't watch me, because I'm going to tell the truth. And the truth of the matter is that black folks will never be equal to white folks in America. Never. But, you know, in a lot of ways, we're our own worst enemy. Look at our communities. Look like war zones. Whose fault is that? Oh, it was slavery. Oh, really? Really? Is slavery, I mean, are we still being affected by slavery 300 years after? Give me a break. I heard my pastor say, Pastor David Ireland, I merely missed my church, Christ Church, Rockaway, Montclair. There's a reason why the rearview mirror is so small and the windshield is so big, because it's more important for you to see ahead of you than it is to see behind you. And see, a lot of us are driving, looking in the rearview mirror. What happens if you drive in the rearview mirror? You crash. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Invicta, in case anybody was wondering. There's about 3 minutes left to the program. Yeah, the windshield is bigger because you need to see ahead of you. The rearview mirror is small because, you need to glance back there every now and then to see what's going on when you go to make a change lanes, or when you're parking your car or whatever, you may need to look back there. But for the most part, you need to look ahead of you. And we keep looking back at slavery. Come on. We have to stop looking back. I mean, I'm not saying that we should forget. No, we should not forget. We should remember slavery and remember what happened to us. That we were brought here against our will. And we were treated like the cows in the land, the horses were treated better than we were. We have to remember that, yeah, but we can't let that stuff hold us back. We can't let that stuff hold us back. And we just keep looking back, you know, we got to start looking ahead, moving forward. You know, we need a national movement. Because everybody's, NAACP is doing something. Urban League is doing their thing. National Action Network is doing their thing. Everybody's doing something different. And that's why we're not getting nowhere. Everybody's doing something different. Everybody got a different agenda. We need to have the same agenda. It's the only way black folks are going to prosper in the United States of America. Because right now, anything you get is because you're helping them. Anything you get is because you're a basketball player. You're making millions and millions of dollars because the billionaire owner of that team is making billions of dollars. You're making millions, he's making billions. I mean, yeah, there are some people. Hey, shout out to Gil Maestro Jr. Shout out to you, man. We'll get together soon. So you need to stop looking back. Stop looking back. So there's about a minute left to the program, everybody. So thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, for joining me. Thank you to my people down in Florida that responded very well to the Ron Kelly Show down in Florida. I got to go down there and do some promotional stuff once this is all over. And then I got to go to California, too. But and I'm going to love it because it's my first time being in California. But anyway, everybody, definitely take care of yourself. You know, do your due diligence. Use your hand sanitizer. Don't touch nothing. Wear your mask. I know it's uncomfortable for me. It's really uncomfortable wearing that mask because it feels so weird, you know, to have to wear a mask. But I do wear it. So everybody, y'all wear your mask too. Take care of yourself. And remember that, you know, we're going to get through this. At some point, we're going to get through this. And not with Trump, but it's going to take us. So we're going to have to save our own country. So everybody, remember that it's nice to be important, that it's more important to be nice, and that we may not have it all together, but together, we can definitely have it all. Thank you so much. Thank you, Shaw. Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody who watched the show. I'm out of here.